Today we're going to discuss on Amud Aleph. First, we're going to give two additional versions of Rami Bar Chama's comment from yesterday. We ended off yesterday with Rami Bar Chama's opinion with regard to punishment for being mechamer when you lead an animal on Shabbos. B'shogeg, what are you chayiv? B'mezid, what are you chayiv? So there are three different versions of what Rami Bar Chama holds a person is chayiv. We learned the first one yesterday. We're going to learn the next two today. The Gemara is then going to get into how to remove muktza glass kalim from an animal on Shabbos, considering that you can't move them directly. The Gemara is then going to try to explain why Rabbi Gamliel left his animal laden with honey for the entire Shabbos to the point that the animal died from exhaustion, what was going through his mind, why there were no other options of what to do for the problem. And then finally we get into a discussion of why, although it's generally usher to use an animal in Shabbos, there's a machlokas amarayim, whether a person can use the sides of an animal in Shabbos, and that's going to lead us right into a discussion about using the sides of a tree on Shabbos. So mishtamish b'behema, mishtamish b'ilan, that's what comes up at the end of the daf. So yesterday we saw the first version of Rami Bar Chama, and we were talking about the Isser of Mechamer. So we had mentioned toward the end of the daf yesterday that there were two kashas, shtei tshuvos bedavar, that Rava had. Right, the case was toward the end of the daf. We had said that Rami Bar Chama says mechamer achar b'amto b'shabbos. If you do b'shogeg chayiv chatas b'mezid chayiv skila, because after all, it's like any other melacha on Shabbos. We do b'shogeg chayiv chatas b'mezid chayiv skila. It's always the rule. So, and Rava said the reason is because pasuk says losas kol melacha atu v'hemtucha. So we say behema is similar to you. It's when it says atu v'hemtucha, we make a hekish between chiyuvim of a person doing melacha and chiyuvim of an animal doing melacha. Just like when a person does malacha b'shogi chayiv chatas b'mezid chayiv skila, so too when an animal does malacha, same rules. So Rava had said shtei tshuvos b'davar, two reasons why that's not correct. First of all, Tarachas Yelachem Losa Bishkagavan Nefesher Tasubiad Rama, where we make a hekesh between Kol Tarakula and Avod Zara. So just like by Avod Zara, you have to do it yourself, it has to be a Maisa Begufei, so too by Kol Tarakula, you're only going to be Chayiv if it's a Maisa Begufei. So therefore, you can't prove from, you can't suggest by Mechamer, where it's not a Maisa Begufei, that you're going to be Chayiv, Chayiv Chatas when you do Peshogig. It's not so, it's only when it's similar to Avodah Zarah in that you do it yourself. So that's one reason why Rava rejects this idea. Va'od, and the second reason he said, we learned at the end of the daf yesterday, is that Mechal Shabbos B'davar Shechayavin Al Shigasa Chatos Al Zadon Oskila Mechal Di'ikimidi De'ein Chayavin Al Shigasa Chatos Al Zadon Oskila. The fact that we talk about being Mechal Shabbos on those issues where when you do it b'mezid, you chayiv skila, when you do it b'shogi, you chayiv chatos, implies that there are certain types of chil Shabbos that you could, that one may do where he is not chayiv skila if he does b'mezid, and chatos if he does it b'shogi. So what might be a secondary type of chil Shabbos where you're not chayiv skila and chatos? Oh, must be mechamer. So those were Rava's two kashas on the suggestion that you're automatically going to be chayiv skila b'mezid chatos b'shogeg by mechamer. So in the Gemara it said, no, that second raya is not a raya. Lo tchumen v'alibid Rabbi Kiva v'avar alibid Rabbi Yosi. Maybe the reason that maybe the reference to a type of avera on Shabbos that you're not chayiv mezid, you're not chayiv skila if you do mezid and chatos if you do b'shogeg is not about mechamer. Mechamer may be in a chinami. You are chayiv skila and chatas. Maybe the reference is to a violation of tchumen if you assume like Rabbi Akiva that tchumen are daraisa. So therefore, it's still called chilul Shabbos, but you're not going to be chayiv as if it were a malacha on Shabbos. Or Havara, we have a machlokas, comes up a few places in Shas, when the Torah says, L'savaru esh b'chol mosh v'seichem, why does the Torah have to tell me that? After all, the Torah already says you're not allowed to do malacha, and we learn out from the Mishkan exactly what the 39 categories of malacha are. Why does the Torah have to single out Havara, L'savaru esh b'chol mosh v'seichem? So the machlokas Tanaim is, whether Havara is l'chalik yatzis, or Havara is l'lav yatzis. Is Havara there to show me that just like I'm going to be chayiv. Is Havara singled out to teach that just like Havara is singled out, and therefore I'd be chayiv for Havara alone, when I, separately from all other melachos, I'd be chayiv its own chatas if I do b'shogeg for Havara. So too, when you do any number of melachos, each one you chayiv on separately, lechalik yatzis or lelav yatzis. Maybe Havara is singled out to show me that Havara is a lower level violation of a melacha than all of the other melachos. That every other melacha, you're chayiv skila, you're chayiv chatas, by Havara you're not. By Havara it's just a regular lo sase. So all the Acharon point out, just one fundamental issue in this Gemara, is that Rava had shtei tshuvas bedavar, two reasons, two kashas on the idea that you're going to learn that mechamer is chayiv chatas and skila, chatas pshogik skila b'mezid, and the Gemara responds to the second kasha. But the Gemara never responds to the first kasha. Meaning, where does that leave us? Does that mean that we have rejected this first version? I mean, we only answered Rava's second kasha. We never answered his first kasha. So the Shor Mitzion Balochavi are quotes from Sefer Yahushua, who says that that the first kasha must have not been as bothersome to the Gemara as the second kasha. There's a Tosfos in Gittin on Daf Gimel Amud Aleph where the Gemara has something very similar. The Gemara also has two kashas and something only answers, only responds to the second kasha. And Tosfos says, yeah, lo chash l'tarets, that the first one didn't bother the Gemara as much, so it was not didn't bother to answer that kasha. So maybe over here also the Gemara wasn't so bothered by this first kasha by the comparison to Avodah Zarah, because we have a competing pasuk in Shabbos itself by the source that we said l'sas kam lacha atu vehemtecha. So we do make a hekesh between atu vehemtecha, meaning in a chinami. Generally speaking, yeah, it should be like avodah zarah that you're only chayiv you do begufe. But over here we have a pasuk tell me that you're not only chayiv you do begufe, that it's atu vehemtecha to tell me that they align with each other, that a malacha that one does is similar to a malacha that one's behema does, in that you're going to be chayiv chatas and chayiv skila if you do b'mezid. So maybe the Gemara just wasn't bothered by that kasha. Okay, says the Gemara Vayter. Now, Ravid Masni Hachi, on the top line of Kufnan Dal and Amud Aleph, here is the second version of Rami Bar Chama. That Amar Rami Bar Chama, Hamachamer Achar Behema B'Shabbos, B'Shogeg Eino Chayiv Chatas, B'mezid Chayiv Skila. Very different. Not that it's just like any other malacha where you chayiv chatas if you do b'shogeg, you chayiv skil if you do b'mezid. You're right about the mezid part. You chayiv skil if you do b'mezid, but you're not chayiv chatas if you do b'shogeg. Eino chayiv chatas. Why? So this fits very nicely with the first kasha of Rava. Rava said that whatever you're going to be chayiv chatas, it has to be similar to avodah zarah, right? And by avodah zarah, it's only when it's a ma'isa begufe. So that's what's going to get you out of chatas. It's not going to get you out of skila, because Avodah Zarah's got nothing to do with skila. The limud from Avodah Zarah was about a karban. That's what Rashi points out on top. Einu chayiv chatas d'alfinun me'Avodah Zarah da'ad David ma'isa begufe. But b'mezid yuchayiv skila, that's from the hekesh of atu v'hemtecha. That just like when you do a malacha yourself, yuchayiv skila, so too behema does a malacha, mechamer yuchayiv skila. So Masiv Rava Hamachal Shabbos B'Davar Shachayav Nal Zdono. I'm sorry. Masiv Rava Hamachal Shabbos B'Davar Shachayav Nal Shigigos Al Chatas Chayav Nal Zdono Skila. If a person is Machal Shabbos by doing something that if he does b'shogeg he's Chayav Chatas, when he does it b'mezid he's going to be Chayav Skila. What's the implication? That if you do your Machal Shabbos in a way that you're not Chayav Achatos if you do it b'shogeg, Ein Chayav Nal Zdono Skila, then it must be that you're not Chayav Skila if you do it b'mezid. So how could you tell me that by Mechamer you're not Chayav Achatos if you do it b'shogeg, but you still are Chayav Skila if you do it b'mezid? Don't you see the clear implication over here is that you're only Chayav Skila on a mezid when doing that same thing b'shogeg, you'd be Chayav Achatos. So says the Gemara, Mikatani Ha Ein Chayavin v'chulei? No, does it say Ha Ein Chayavin? Is that diuk? Is that explicit? No. Hachi Kamar. All it says is the reverse. It says that when you're chayiv skila b'mezid, you're going to be chayiv chatos b'shogeg. It never tells us the reverse, that when a person is chayiv chatos b'shogeg, that he's automatically chayiv skila if he does it b'mezid, or the other way around. It never tells us. It says if you mechal shabbos avish chayiv, it does tell us that whenever you're chayiv chatos b'shogeg, you're chayiv skila b'mezid. It never tells us the reverse, that every time you're chayiv skila b'mezid, you're automatically chayiv chatos b'shogeg. This is what it means to say. Davar shechayavn al shigigas al chatas, chayavn al zdonos chila. Certainly, whenever you chayav chatas on something b'shogeg in the world of chilas Shabbos, yes, you are absolutely chayav skila when you do it b'mezid. But v'yesh davar she'in chayavn al shigigas al chatas v'chayavn al zdonos chila. But then there are certain things that you're not chayav al shigigas al chatas, and still you are chayav al zdonos chila. Umaynihu, and what is an example of such a thing? Mechamer. Mechamer is exactly that. So that's the second version of Rami Bar Chama. Says the Gemara, a third version. Rava achua de Rav Mari Bar Rachel, va'amrila avua de Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Rava, who was either the brother of Rav Mari Bar Rachel, and some say the father of Rav Mari Bar Rachel. So l'lishna basra kasha hada Rav achshere le Rav Mari Bar Rachel umanya b'porsei de Bavel. He says, according to the second lashon, that he was avua de Rav Mari Bar Rachel, we have a problem with the fact that the Gemara refers to some sort of yichus problem with Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Rashi fills us in a little bit on what's going on over here. If you look at Rashi, about 5-6 lines into the skinny lines, Va'amila avua de Rav Mari Bar Rachel. First of all, his name right away should give away that there's some issue with his father, because his name is Rav Mari Bar Rachel. His father's name was not Rachel. That's obviously his mother's name. When we never do that in the Gemara, we always call by the father's name. So why are we calling by the mother's name? So there must have been some sort of issue with the father. So first of all, so Rashi right off the bat says to say that Rava was the avua de Rav Mari Bar Rachel, logar sinan da avua de Rav Mari, logar sinan. We can't be gores that he was avua de Rav Mari Bar Rachel. Why? Da avua de Rav Mari iser giyura shmei, because we know who the father of Rav Mari Bar Rachel is. It's iser giyura. Uman de goris le goris pasrei hachi. And if you gores that in fact Rava was the avua de Rav Mari Bar Rachel, so then we're gores in the next line in the Gemara like we are lahach lishna basra kasha. Hach de Rav achshel Rav Mari Bar Rachel umani beporsi de Bavel v'hach milsi b'mesachs Yevamisi beporsi belaz manshtarol hein shotrim v'afal gav da amar mar kol mesimo shatemesim lo yael mikerav achecha. Hi, Kivin Dima Mishal Mikarvachacha Karin Bey. The Gemara over there discusses whether Rav Mari Bar Rachel was allowed to be appointed to a position of authority. Because the halacha is, Kol Mesimo Shatamesim, any time it requires an appointment, any time a person is being put into a position that requires an appointment, that's what we assume is a position of authority, it has to be Mikarvachacha. A ger cannot be appointed to such a position. So the Gemara says, aye, what about Rav Mari Bar Rachel? He was appointed to such a position. Well, I says, yeah, his mother was Jewish. His father was a ger, and apparently he was conceived when his father was not yet Jewish. So, his mother was Jewish, and that was good enough. His mother was born a Jew, and that's good enough for him to be appointed to that position. But don't you see, the bottom line is, you see that his father was not Rava. His father was, so that's what the Gemara's point is with this line, that according to this Lishna Basra, we've got a problem to say that Rav was Machshir of Mari Bar Rachel because his mother was Jewish. If his father was really Rava, he should be kosher anyway. If his father was really Rava, so says Gemara, Dilma Trei Mari Bar Rachel Havu. That's not a kasha. It could be that there were two Mari Bar Rachels. So again, two ways of dealing with this: either just not Gores Avua at all to take away the girsa, or keep the girsa, and then you have to assume that there was more than one Mari Bar Rachel. One of them came from a father who wasn't Jewish, who was Isser Gira, was ultimately Megayer, and the other one came from a father who was Rava, who was one of the Gedolei Amorayim. But either way, whoever it is, have a masin l'lahashmaita mishmed Rabbi Yochanan liftar, that he learned in the name of Rabbi Yochanan to say that you're potter. How so? That I'm Rabbi Yochanan, ha-mechamer achar b'amto b'shavis, potter me klum. Someone does mechamer on Shabbos, Not that he's pater from a chatos, but still chayv skil if you do b'shogeg, if you do b'mezid. No, pater miklum, there's no b'shogeg lo mechayv chatos, duksha kol torah kul avod zara. If you do b'shogeg, you're not chayv chatos because of the hekesh tavod zara that we learned at the end of yesterday's daf. That just like avod zara has to be done b'gufei, you're only going to be chayv chatos for things that are done b'gufei, for things that a person does physically with his own body. B'mezid nami lo mechayv, and he's also not going to be chayv skil if he does b'mezid, titzanam chal shabbos b'dor. That because we do have this comment about things that if you do them b'shogi chayv chatos and then if you do them b'mezid b'chayv skila ha'ein chayv nal shogasa chatos. So we can learn from there that whenever you're not chayv chatos for doing it b'shogeg, so mainly you're not going to be chayv skila for doing it b'mezid. So that's why you're going to be potter completely from chatos and from skila. So again, three versions of what Rami Bar Chama taught. First version was that mechamer you chayv chatos and you chayv skila. The second version was no chatos but yes skila. Third version, no chatos and no skila. Just a little bit more on the identity of this from Mari Bar Rachel before we go further into this third shita. If you look in the top Tosfos, Varmila Rava Avuad Rav Mari Bar Rachel Logar Sinalei Damuchbi Vamsta Avuad Rav Mari Ger Hava Dam Rachel It's Rav Akshay Rav Mari Bar Rachel Umanya Apurse Debavel Vekamar Kiven Di Imam Yisrael Mikar Vechecha Karinim Bei. So he starts out with what Rashi says, not to be gores the. That Rava was the Avua of Mari Bar Rachel, because we have this Beferish Gemara in Yevamos that the Avua that the father of Mari Bar Rachel was Isser Giura, and that's why he had the whole issue with whether he could be appointed to a position of authority. The Leka Lememer the Rava Avua of Mari Nami Ger Hava. So it says to us, well, why don't we just say that Rava was a Ger? Could be he accomplished a great deal later on after he was Megayer. Dim Kain Hava Lememer Rava Giura Kedam Rashas Bialma Isser Giura. Very interesting, Tosa says, when someone is a ger, we identify him as such. They would call him Isser Giura. We're not sure why. Why would they dafka call him that? So he says, well, they do. You find Isser Giura. So if Rava was a ger, they would call him Rava Giura. So generally speaking, you're not supposed to remind a ger of his past. Of, you know, you're not supposed to, the Gemara says, you're not allowed to tell a ger, you know, you used to eat in Velas and Trefus. You used to, so to remind him of what he had done is a very terrible thing. The Torah says in many, many places that you're not allowed to afflict a ger, you're not allowed to bother a ger, you have to be very nice to a ger. So it is a little bit odd that every time we quote someone as a ger, the Tosfos would hold that we dafka point out the fact that they're a ger, we dafka single them out. Tosfos must assume that we're singling it out for a positive thing. Adrabah, we're saying, look how they were so inspired to want to be members of Klal Yisrael, that every time we quote them, we want to mention this great act of being Megayer. Va'od the aviv shel Rav Mari Bar Rachel mashma babas v'perek misha meis dainu iser gyura darmin and iser gyura havelei treis shal thizuzi be Rava Rav Mari Berei horasa shelo b'kdusha v'lei dasa b'kdusha hava. So and he says furthermore, you can't say that Rava was a ger because we know who Rav Mari Bar Rachel's father was. It was iser gyura. It wasn't just stam any ger. It was iser the ger. It wasn't Rava the ger, as we see from that story in Perek misha meis. Avgav the Hasam Logarsin Rav Mari Bar Rachel Berei Doma Husha Oso Haya. Even though we're not Gores Rav Mari Bar Rachel, his son, so it's got to be the same guy. Miu Iam Rina Shuaya Rav Mari Bar Rachel Tzrich LeMeimar the Isugura Baal Rachel Basmar Shmuel Kodem Shinis Gayer. The Kamar Hasam the Rasha Shlobak Dushava Verachel Basmar Shmuel Haisa Kadam Bakama Duchtin. So it tells us if you just put the whole picture together, it seems that Isser Giura was the father of Mari Bar Rachel, and when Isser Giura, when Rav Mari Bar Rachel was conceived, Isser Giura was not yet Jewish. When he slept with the daughter of Mar Shmuel, he was not yet Jewish, because it says that Kadam Bakama Duchtin Mari Bar Rachel Yisrael bas mar Shmuel varmin b'ksubis debinte de mar Shmuel ishtavyan. And you put it together with another Gemara. This is an unbelievable Tosfos putting together mamish little tiny pieces from all of Shas to try to piece together a picture over here. He says, well, what do we know? What are the daughters of mar Shmuel doing sleeping with a guy, sleeping with someone who's not yet Jewish before his gerus? Because we know the Gemara in Ksubis tells us that they were captured, they were taken into Shevi, the Shema Ozba Aleha. Maybe when they were taken into Shevi, when they were captured, maybe that's when it happened. But what's the context of the Gemara in Ksubis? The context of the Gemara in Ksubis is that Pesha Asar Hua Pesha Hitir. That if a girl comes and says, Nishbesi, but don't worry, I was captured, but don't worry, Torah Ani, nothing happened to me. So she's believed because of Pesha Asar Hua Pesha Hitir. The only way we know that she was captured was by her own admission, so we could believe her that she was Tahora. So that's the context over there. So now we're going to say that she was lying, that really she was, that they raped her, and that she's, and that that's why, that's how she conceived her son, Rav Mari Bar Rachel. So what you have to say is that there were several daughters of Mar Shmuel. Some of them said, Nishbesi Yutaharani. Others never claimed Nishbesi Yutaharani. They never claimed that they were Tahar. So the ones that claimed Nishbesi Yutaharani, we could learn Apesh Asar or Apesh Hitir. The ones that didn't claim Nishbesi Yutaharani, one of those is Rachel, who actually did conceive her child in captivity. Miu Tema Irav Mari Berei De Isug Yura Haino Hudi Vamos Eich Chai Isur Kolkach Mimos Rav Ad Rava. He says the one thing that doesn't fit is how long did this guy live? For Isur Gira to live all the way from the days of Rav, how he's mentioned in that Gemara in Yevamos, all the way till the days of Rava, Rav Yehuda Talmido Shal Rav, Arminim B'Kedushin Yom Shemes Rav Yehuda Nolad Rava. Rav Yehuda was a Talmud of Rav. Rava was born the day Rav Yehuda died. So Rav must have been older than Rav Yehuda. So for Rav Mari Bar Rachel to survive from the days of Rav all the way to the days of Rava, for Isur Gira rather to survive all that time, very difficult. Rav Mari Beno Kvar Haya Gadol B'Torah Harbe B'Yimei Rav Midemanya Apurse Debavel. And not only that, not only was Isser around, his son Rav Mari was already ready to be appointed to positions of authority. And that used to not happen for little kids. That didn't happen when you were young. That happened when you were a little bit older. So that's the difficulty in piecing all of this together. Tosfos says how it could be that he lived for that long. Okay, but weiter in the Gemara. So again, we had this third version that Potter Miklum, that according to Rabbi Yochanan, someone is mechamer achar b'emto b'Shabbos, he's potter miklum, he's absolutely not chayiv for anything. He's not chayiv skil if he does mezid, not chayiv chatos if he does b'shogeg. The Gemara goes even further. Second line from the bottom. B'lav nami lo mechayiv, he's not even chayiv for nisa lav. Davle lav, meaning he's not even chayiv malkus for violation of a lav when he does mechamer. Why? Davle lav shenitan lasaras misas bezin. Because this is a lav that's nitan lasaras misas bezin. In general, the other melachos of Shabbos carry with it a misas bezdin. So it's learnt out, the ashara of the other malachas is learnt out from the same pasuk as the ashara of mechamer, and therefore you can't be chayiv malchus for mechamer. V'kol lav shenitin lasaras misas bezdin, ein lokin alav, and any lav that's nitin lasaras misas bezdin, there's not going to be malchus. The question some of the Akronim ask is Gemara Mbav Metzia, Daf Tzadiyam Beis, Rabbi Yochanan says, if chasma b'kol, so you get malchus. Let's say you violate lo saksum shor b'disho, but not by physically doing anything, but by audibly leading the animals. So is that called lav she'en bo maisa, or lav she'yesh bo maisa? So the Gemara says that chasma b'kol, you get malchus, akima svasav havi maisa, moving your lips and making a noise, that's called the Maisa. And Tosfos over there says, even though by Megadev, when it comes to blaspheming the name of Hashem, Akima Svasov is not considered a Maisa, Chasma B'kol is different, because at the time that you're making the noise, the animal is actually doing activity based on the noise that you're making. And the same would be true by Klayim, Manhiga B'kol, that if you take two animals that are Klayim with each other, and they're working together, and you lead them together, B'kol, that's also considered a Lav Sheyesh B'maisa, because Akima Sfasav, while an animal is acting based on your Akima Sfasayim, it then is considered a Maisa. So why don't we say the same thing by Mechamer? I mean, what are we saying over here? Mechamer, it's Potter Miklum. Why don't we say it's the same thing by Mechamer? Say that when, by the leading of the Behema, it's Akima Svasav, Havimaisa, that if you're audibly leading the animal, so even if you're physically not doing anything, it should still be Malkus from Mechamer. So, meaning, what was the whole limud that we learned from Avodah Zarah? Anything you don't do, the whole limud that you're not Chayv Chatos, that we learned from Avodah Zarah, anytime you're not doing anything Begufe, so you're not going to be Chayv. Who says you're not doing something Begufe? You're doing a Maisa. You're doing a Kimas Vasayim. So that's a Maisa when it's done in conjunction with an animal actually acting based on your Akimas Vasayim. So why don't we say the same thing? Why don't we say that you're chayav for that reason? So the Achronim are Metarets. Again, the Shor Mitzvot Balach, quoting from this Sefer Yoshua. I'm not familiar with the Sefer, but he keeps on quoting it. So these Metarets that by Mechamer, even though it's a Maisa, but Maisa is different than the Geder of what's called the Maisa, is different than the Geder of what's called Begufe. The limud from Avodah Zarah is not just that you need a Maisa. You wouldn't need a limud from Avodah Zarah to tell me that you're only chayev when you have a Maisa. In general, you're only chayev when you have a Maisa anyway. The limud from Avodah Zarah is to tell me that it has to be more than just a Maisa. To be chayev chatas, it needs to be a Maisa Begufe. It needs to be a more physical type of Maisa. Where to be chayev malchus in general, whether to make something a lav sheyesh b'maisa, so then you only need something that's defined as a maisa. You don't need anything more than that. But to call it a maisa begufe, to be chayiv a carbon chatos for, that has to be something more, something that you're more directly, physically involved with. Okay, so the Gemara says further now, so we said that the reason you don't get malchus for this is because lav shinitin lasaras bisus bezin and kol lav shinitin lasaras bisus bezin zayin lokin alav. You don't get malchus for lav shinitin lasaras bisus bezin. So says Gemara v'afilu man diyamar lokin. And even if you hold that you do get malchus for lav shinitin lasaras bisus bezin, lichtav rachmanu losasa kol malacha ubehemtecha. Let the pasuk just say losasa kol malacha ubehemtecha. Why does it have to add in the ata before ubehemtecha? It adds in more than just ata. It says ata uvincha vitecha avdecha v'amascha and then ubehemtecha. But why does it have to add in the ata? Ata lamali hu niyu demechayev behemta lamechayev. This is the pasuk about not doing malacha on Shabbos. V'yomash shvi Shabbos l'shem mekecha losasa kol malacha. Who's not allowed to do malacha? Ata uvincha vitecha avdecha v'amascha v'amascha. So we darshin from the ata that only when the person himself does the malacha is he going to be chayiv, but when his behema does the ikar malacha, because it's the malacha mechamer that we're talking about, so the behema is doing the ikar malacha, then you're not going to be chayiv. So that's the lima that we have, that you're not going to get malchus, that there's no malchus on the lav of mechamer. So this third version has it that not only you're not chayiv skila, not only you're not chayiv chatas, you're not even chayiv malchus for the losase when it comes to the lav of mechamer. Good. Higia l'chatzra chitzona. The Mishnah had spoken about you have all the stuff that you're schlepping on your animal, and then you finally get to the chatzra chitzona. You get to the outermost courtyard of the city where you're going to. So then the Mishnah had said, notel as a kelim ani tolin b'shabbos. Those kelim that are not muktzah, you should take off of the animal, and those kelim that are muktzah, just untie the packages and let them fall to the ground. So says the Gemara, Amar Rav Huna, Haisa behemto tu'una klei zechuchis. What if your animal has glass kelim on its back? So maybe karmu ksasos maniach tachteh umatir achavalim. If you have glass kelim on its back, so you don't want to just untie the bundles and have them fall on the floor, because then they're all going to break. So get some cushions, put the cushions under the animal, and then untie them and have them fall on the floor. Vasakanoflim, the sakan will then fall on the cushion surface, and hopefully nothing will happen to them, they'll be fine. I frek the Gemara, why do you have to untie them? If you have glass kelim aren't muktza. The Mishnah said, when things aren't muktza, you're allowed to just take them off of the animal. You don't have to untie them. It said in our Mishnah, you're allowed to just take the kelim that aren't muktza. So what are you untying for the glass kelim with this whole thing, with the cushions on the bottom? Just take them off. So answers the Gemara, Kikam Rafuna Bekarni Du Umna Delochazile. No, what we're talking about, not stam glass kelim. We're talking about glass kelim that are used for bloodletting pipes. And those things are disgusting. So because they're disgusting, they're muktza. So that's the type of glass kelim that we're talking about, meaning that those types of glass kelim are not roy to be used on Shabbos at all. And they're ma'us, so therefore they're muktza. So frek the Gemara, but wait a second. Then when they land on the cushions, you're not going to be allowed to move the cushions. And that's going to be a violation of being mevatel kli meichano, because the cushions are now going to become support, the buses for these kelim that are muktzah, so it's going to make the cushions muktzah. You're not going to be allowed to move the cushions. So isn't that a problem that all these pillows is going to be a violation of vatal kli mechano? So answer the Gemara, bishlifi zutri. Now we're talking about these very small packages of glass kelim where you could pull out the pillow from underneath and they'll fall on the next pillow down below until meaning you'll be able to move the kelim underneath the cushions underneath without them breaking. You'll be able to slightly to carefully pull out the pillow and then it will fall to the next pillow until you keep pulling it out till it falls down to the ground, and that would be fine. So it's not a violation of vatal kli meichano. So says Mar Meisvei Haisubemto Tuna Tevel VaAshashios Matirs Chavalin VaAsakan Noflin VaAfal Pishem Mishtabrin. But wait a second, it says that if you have Ashashios, which are glass kelim, so even though they're going to break, you have to just untie the bundles and you have to let them fall to the floor. Don't you see that we don't allow setting up a situation where you have pillows and cushions underneath to catch these things, that you have to just let them fall on the floor of their muktzah? So says the Gemara, Hasum Bekulsa. Over there, we're not talking about little bloodletting kelim that you could put cushions under. We're talking about, as Rashi says, Kulsa, Chatichos Rechavu Shel Zechuchus, these large cuts of glass, She'enum Kelim, Vosimen Chalonos, they're big panes of glass for windows, the Kivin Deleka Pseida B'Shvirasan, the Sofan Lechatech B'Chatichos Ketanos, Lo Sharu Lahavi Karim Laniach Tachtayan. We're not going to allow moving cushions and pillows to catch these items because there's no real loss if they break. They're going to be broken up into smaller pieces anyway. Deka nami de katani dumi de tevel. And it's meduyik this way because it lists it together with tevel. Ma tevel de lo chazile, af hachanami lo chazile. Just like tevel that has no use because it's muksa, so too even kohanim it has no use because there's nisr midrabanan to be mafresh trumos and maestros on Shabbos, and a kohen is not allowed to eat tevel. I mean, even though there's a chakira in the achronim, whether the isser of tevel is stam its own separate isser, or it's only asr mishum truma hamu'urav bo, but the halach is kohanim are not allowed to eat it for whatever reason, because you have a mitzvah safrasha, but they're not allowed to eat it. So over here also, some must be talking about the type of glass that's lo chazile, that's not roi for any use. Umay afal pisha mishtabrin. So wait a second, then why do we say, even though it break, it's going to break? What do you mean, even though it's going to break? We just said that there's no loss if it breaks, that these are the types of glass that they're going to break anyway, and you want them to break, and you plan on breaking them down for smaller pieces of glass. So what's the afal pisha mishtabrin? Oh, there's no chiddush in that, the fact that they're going to break them, we're still going to be machmir. The whole point is that there's no loss whatsoever if they break. So it says in the muat nami chashu kamashmalan. I might have thought that there's a hefsin muat when they break, and that little shards of glass may be lost when it breaks in a non-controlled environment, and therefore we should be choshesh for that loss kamashmalan, that's not considered a real loss. Just taking a step back for a second, mivatel kli meichano. What's the problem being mivatel kli meichano? That's not a malacha being mivatel kli meichano. What is that? Where's the what's the isser? What's it associated with? So Rashi says mivatel kli karm uksasuk shemanichan tachas davar she'ein nital. When you put pillows and cushions underneath something that you're not allowed to move on Shabbos, so then you simply won't be able to move the cushions either. Mevatlan mehechanon deshuv lo yitlo misham v'dami l'soser. It's being mevatlan the kli mehechano because then you're never going to take it from there, and that's like soser. It's like you've destroyed the cushions and the pillows because now they have now you're unable to move them. So it's a violation of soser. That's how Rashi understands. The Rambam in 25th parak of Hilchos Shabbos Chav Gimel also says you're not allowed to be mivatel kli meichano because it's kesoser. Tosos earlier in the Masechta Mem Gimel Amud Aleph pointed out that this Rashi is being chozer from what Rashi had written already on Mem Beis and Beis. Rashi says kilu mechabro sham betit, that when you mivatel kli meichano, it's like you took these cushions and you cemented them into the ground. That's not a violation of soser. That's a violation of bona, that you've built them into the ground because now they're unmovable. They're not physically unmovable, they're halachically unmovable. And in that sense, it's like bona. In the Ritva, he says that it's kadesh shelo lemait b'kavod haShabbos, sha'oser kelim amutarim, that to take kelim that otherwise you would have been able to use on Shabbos and now make them unusable on Shabbos, it's not soser, it's not bona. Chapora. It's just covered Shabbos. It's a lack of covered Shabbos. Take something that could have been usable and is now no longer usable. Now the problem with suggesting that it relates to Soser, the Sholem Eshev has in Tshuva, in Ma'adura Gimel, Chelek Beis, and Kuf Pei Ches, says, wait a second, Soser is one of those Almanas Malachos. There are a couple of Malachos that they're not defined just by doing the act itself, but it has to be with a certain Kavana. It has to be Almanas. Soser is only a violation of Soser if it's almanas livnos, just like we have mochek. Mochek is a violation of melacha, only if it's mochek, almanas lichtov. If you stam erase something, but it's not almanas lichtov, so it's not a violation of mochek. So soser also. So how can you say that this is a violation of soser? Soser is only a violation if it's almanas livnos. So he says that Rashi is being mechadesh, that since you're not able to be metalta l'kli, that itself is like it's almanas livnos, and you're chayv mishum soser, because later on you'll be able to be metaltal it. Meaning it's right now you've destroyed the kli, but it's almanas to make the kli usable again. To make the kli, meaning the whole thing is drabanan anyway. So what's the kasha? Why are we so bothered that it's not soser almanas livnos? But maybe that's the point. Meaning this isn't really soser at all. So it's clearly a drabanan because it's similar to soser. But what type of soser is it similar to? It's similar to soser shalom almanas livnos? Well, that's on a melachah d'oraisa itself. Then wouldn't this be a gzera l'gzera? Isn't this a little far-fetched? That's the kasha the Sholem Eshev was probably bothered by. So he says, no, this is similar to soser almanas livnos, because when you demobilize the pillow, it's almanas to remobilize it again later on after Shabbos, and that's why it's not actually soser, and it's not actually almanas livnos, but it's similar in as much as this is called soser, it's almanas livnos, because as much as you're demobilizing the kli, the plan is to mobilize the kli later on. There's a discussion in the Achronim in general when you say that you have a malacha of, let's say, soser almanas livnos or mochek almanas lichtov. So is that a part of the shame malacha, that is something is only called soser if it's almanas livnos? Or maybe no. There is another rule in Hilchos Shabbos called mekalkel, that if a person is mekalkel in Hilchos Shabbos, if you do a malacha of Shabbos in a destructive way, not in a constructive way, the definition of malacha Shabbos is to be constructive. So if a person destroys something, a malacha Shabbos, you're pater. So is the reason that soser needs to be almanas livnos, because normally soser destroying is destructive, as the words would suggest, right? And therefore, you just need almanas livnos in order to make it not mekalkel, in order to make it a productive soser. But it's not really, it's lav dafka that it has to be almanas to build, it just needs to be a productive form of soser. And a classic example is almanas livnos. That's just an example of a way that it wouldn't be mekalkel. Or maybe no, maybe in addition to not being mekalkel, part of the shem malacha of soser is that it needs to be almanas livnos. This seems to be a machlokas, Rashi and Tosos. Rashi and Tosos earlier in Maseches Shabbos, Rashi and Tosos again in Maseches Gittin seem to have this machlokas in regards to mochek. If mochek almanas mistama, it's the same gether. Meaning if soser almanas livnos is part of the shem malacha, then mochek almanas lichtov is part of the shem malacha. If soser almanas livnos is just a din in mekalkel, then mochek almanas lichtov is also just a din in mekalkel. But the obvious nafkamina would be if you can come up with a way to be mochek that's not almanas lichtov but is productive. So do you say you're chayiv because almanas lichtov is just an example of how to avoid mekalkel? But if you've avoided mekalkel anyway because you've done mochek in a productive way, so then you're going to be chayiv? Or do you say no? You don't have the shem malacha. The shem malacha is only when it's almanas lichtov or almanas livnos. Okay. Further in the Gemara now. So Tanya, first white line. Rav Shimon Yechai Omer, Haisubemto Tuna Sholv Shol Tavua. If an animal is carrying a bundle of grain, Maniach Rosho Tachta Umasalko Litzad Acher Vunofa Me'elav. A person can put his head underneath the animal and move it that way with his head, and then it will fall on the other side. So Chamor of Rav Gamliel heisa tu'una devash v'lo ratzel parka. The Chamor of Rav Gamliel was laden with honey, and he didn't want to unload it on Motzai Shabbos until after Shabbos was over. He wasn't interested in unloading it on Shabbos. Motzai Shabbos mesa, but by the time he waited till Motzai Shabbos, the animal died from the force of that burden that it had to carry the entire Shabbos. Ivan antna notel kelim ani talin. But wait a second, didn't we say you could just, if any kelim that aren't muksa, you could just remove honey isn't mukza. Why didn't he just take it off the animal on Shabbos? Says Markisha Hidvish. No, we're talking about honey that had soured, and therefore it was mukza. Hidvish l'may chazi. Well, then what does he need it for at all? Why is he schlepping soured honey on an animal's back? What are you going to do with it? So the sisa de gamli, it could be used to treat the sores on the animal. So you're not allowed to do that on Shabbos. You're not allowed to rub it on the sores of an animal on Shabbos. So it's mukza on Shabbos, but it is still something of value, and that's why he had it. So says Gemara, but the Mishnah spoke about what you should do if you have mukza items on an animal. We didn't say just let the animal die. V'yater chavolim v'yiplusakin. What you're supposed to do is untie the bundles and let the bags fall on the floor. Why didn't he do that? And so Gemara mitzvah ziki. He was afraid they would just crack open. The bags would open up and everything would spill out. So it didn't help. So v'yavi karmuk sasos v'yaniach tachten. Okay, he was afraid they would all break, so let him put cushions underneath. And then untie the bundles, so they will fall on the cushions. Then that way the bundles won't crack open, and everything will be good. So says Gemara, no menatfi v'kamivato kli meichanu. Now the cushions would definitely become dirty from the honey. They would become disgusting and sticky from the honey, and that's going to be mivato kli meichanu. That's going to ruin them for the rest of Shabbos. So that's why he had no option of removing this muksa. So fret the Gemara v'yikatzar b'alechayim. What do you mean he had no option? He's violating halacha by leaving it there. There's tzar b'alechayim. So how could he, shouldn't he violate the Isser of Muktza in order to save himself the worst Isser of Tzar Balechayim? And so Gemara, Kasav Tzar Balechayim Drabanan. Now he held Tzar Balechayim is not a worse Isser. Tzar Balechayim is only Drabanan, and we're not going to violate Muktza to save ourselves from Tzar Balechayim. So a couple of issues over here. First of all, Tzar Balechayim, Daraisa Drabanan. The Gemara Bamitzia quotes many shittos that it's Daraisa. Tzar Balechayim is Daraisa. Our Gemara says that he held that it was but Rav Shimon ben Yochai held that it was Drabanan. If it's Daraisa, there's something like 12 or 13 different shittos in Rishonim and Achronim where we learn the Isser of Tzar Balechayim from. From the Saksum Sharbadisho, from Bilam and his donkey, why did you hit me? All these different wild shittos of where in the world Tzar Balechayim could be learned from. We've pointed out many times in the past, this is one of Rav Asher Weiss's examples where he says, clearly there's no single source that tells us Tzar Balechayim is Daraisa, but the fact that there are 13 different shittos leads you to believe that the entire tam of the Torah, the entire flavor, the entire sense that you get from the Torah is that it's bad to make animals suffer. So that's an issue of Ratzon HaTorah, and Ratzon HaTorah itself is its own Mechayiv Midaraisa. But when you get that sense from just reading the Torah, from learning the Torah, that the Ratzon Hashem is that that we shouldn't make animals suffer, so that's where we learn that it's Daraisa. The other issue over here is that in general, Tzar Balechayim, the whole concept of Tzar Balechayim, L'chora, shouldn't apply when you need to use the animal. Because the Ophos and the Behemos and the Chayos, they're all created to help us. The Gemara says so beferish in the end of Maseches Kiddushin. So he was using it to help him schlep his bundle. So why in the world should this be a violation of Tzar Balechayim? So you have to say over here is, he already got what he needed out of the animal. He's ready to unload the animal. Leaving it on for no reason other than muktza. So now you're faced with muktza versus Tzar Balechayim. Because once you got what you already need from the animal, then it's stumped Tzar Balechayim to keep the bundles on the animal. So that's what you have to say. That the issue that's the pashtus of the sugi over here. But prior to that, even if it was very difficult for the animal, it would not be a violation of Tzar Balechayim. The Gemara goes on. Abayi found that Rabba was sliding his son down the side of a donkey. He says, you're being mishtamish b'alechayim, you're not allowed to do that. It's only the side of the animal, and the Rabbanan never goes there not to be mishtamish in the side of an animal. The Rabbanan goes there not to use the top of an animal because they were afraid when you ride an animal you're going to rip a branch off of a tree. They never goes there on the side of an animal. Minotein, right? How do you know? know that. It's not matir chaval masaka noflin. So our Mishnah says that you could untie the bundles and let the bags fall down. My love, b'chaver gavalki, davulit studen, studen lo gazubur rabbanon. Won't this involve untying the bags? Won't it involve leaning up against the side of the animal? So don't you see that you're allowed to lean up against the side of the animal? You're allowed to be mishtamish with the side of the animal, and the rabbanon were not gozer that it's called mishtamish b'alechayim. Says my love, b'chaver agalvaki, the love would studen. No, maybe it's a different type of packaging on the animal where it won't involve any use of the studen of the animal. Inami bilachta, inami bilachta, or some type of clip that also won't involve any usage of the side of the animal. So we said if you have a sukkah that's built into a tree and two of the walls are regular walls and one of the walls is in the tree, so such a sukkah is kosher, but you're not allowed to go in it on yantif because you're being mishtamish bi'ilan. So my lav the chakbe bi'ilan davul utstadin utstadin asurin, isn't this carved into the tree and therefore the tree is studin, it's the studin of the tree that you're using, and we still see you're not allowed to use it on yantif, you're not allowed to even use the studin of a tree mistama. Studin of a tree would be the same as the studin of an animal. So we're low. The kafir li'ilam, we're talking about the case where you tied the tree down and you put schach on top of it, so it's not the studin of the tree, it's the top of the tree to come shamish bi'ilan. You're using the tree directly. Well, if that's the case, then why, when it's three regular walls and one wall of the top of the tree, why, where the wall is using the top of the tree, why would you be ola biyamtuf? If we're talking about that you tie down the tree, why would you be allowed to go into such a tree on yamtuf? So says Maravel Mai, Studin Asurin, Sov Sov, Amai El Nobi Yomtov. Well, anyway, what are you trying to prove? You're trying to prove that the Studin Arasur, so then you'd have an even bigger kasha why you're allowed to go in such a tree on Yomtov. That part of the Mishnah is not going to make any more sense, according to what you're trying to say. Elahasam Begoazo Parsachna, Dilim Gufe, Dofen Bial Mahudashavia. We're talking about where you have thick branches, where the tree itself, become is a wall, and it's not that it's supporting a wall, the tree itself is the wall. So therefore it's not called that you're being mishtamish b'ilan. Deikanami dekutani zeh klal kalilu shenatali ilan v'yichol lamor olin lo b'yomtov shmamina. You see, the klal is that any time that if you were to take away the ilan, the sukkah would still be able to stand, so then you're olin lo b'yomtov. So you see that in this case we're talking about where the tree itself serves as the wall. Okay, but from tomorrow we'll get into more about this machlokas about being mishtamish b'ilan.